This is Wednesday evening, October the 14th, 2020. I'm gonna say something I spoke to Danny about last night that I just picked up, that a lot of times, you know, we're going through things, we think it's, we take it at just our face value of what it appears to be. And I just sensed yesterday, it was just like the Lord kind of gave me a peek, maybe, of what's going on in our nation, and the world's on bated breath, because they know if Donald Trump doesn't get in, they're sunk. It's not just our nation, it's every nation in the world. And so that's kind of the way the Lord put it to me. You know, you're experiencing things. All of us are going through some things, and it's warfare. It appears as it's this, this, and this, but the real truth is we're going through warfare. We're in World War III. We're in Armageddon. We're looking at the greatest show on earth. The time on earth that every Christian has wanted to be here for. So he kind of helped me put it in perspective, because, you know, sometimes we can get caught up in what we're experiencing and what we're seeing and not realize, well, this is part of carrying the cross. This is part of doing a good warfare. And the things that come against you aren't as they seem. It just... So you're not thinking, you know, of course, when you're getting attacked in the natural, it's hard not to look in the natural. But that's kind of, with the teaching, I've already taught one, this is part two of the wizard behind the curtain. The devil does not want you to realize and expose him for who he is and to take care of business. He wants you to get all down in the mouth and looking at the circumstances and looking around you and getting all wrought up and in care and everything else. That's the aim. But the Lord wouldn't have us do that. He'd have us to be focused on who the true enemy is and why we're experiencing what we're experiencing. And that it's subject to change because he's a liar. He couldn't tell the truth to save his life. He's a liar, and Jesus called him the father of liars. So tonight I want to speak to you about the book of Revelation, and the Lord began to show me some things. He said it's code. Code. You know what code is? It's symbols or letters or words that are used to relay a message with an underlying, maybe even secretive meaning. That maybe someone just looking at it, they wouldn't catch it at all. That's the way the book of Revelation is. Okay. So what do I mean by that? It's symbolic and it has a literal interpretation. The title Revelation, this is what it means. An act of revealing or communicating divine truth. Something that is revealed by God to humans. An act of revealing, to view, or making known. Something that's hidden in secret, but it's made known. The Strong's calls it an uncovering. I thought this was appropriate, especially when we're talking about the wizard behind the curtain, like the Wizard of Oz. I looked up the movie Wizard of Oz. You'd be amazed at the symbology. And there's different symbology. Everybody has their different symbology of it. But it's more probably symbology of the 1900s and what they were going through economically and all that stuff at that time. Yeah. Webster says revelation is an act of revealing or communicating divine truth. Stanford's Encyclopedia of Philosophy, it means removal of the veil. That should not surprise us. So something can be seen. the seals. It's something that's been hidden that is now being revealed. The Strong's Greek lexicon says it's disclosure. I've been doing a series for a year and a half now on television called Full Disclosure. I'm thinking, wow, Lord, disclosure. Appearings, coming, light, lighten, manifestation, be revealed. That's what it means, all those words. You could say it's a lot like the way Q communicates to us. The late Kim Clement quoted that Q was a plan in the mind of God. That's where his exact words. It is the Great Awakening. So when something's hidden from you, it's like you're asleep. You're asleep in that area. In fact, that's kind of the terminology you use when you come across people that are clueless. You know, they're asleep. That's why Jesus said to the virgins, you know, to wake up. I'm coming, wake up. Some are wise, and they say, yes, Lord, we see the signs of the times, and we're studying, and we're getting out there, and we're doing our best to red pill people, get them awake about things. And there's others that just go on their merry business. You know, you meet them every day. Clueless. Well, they're asleep. They're like Sleeping Beauty. The story of Sleeping Beauty, she was put under a spell by the Wicked Witch. And she slept for 100 years, and the whole kingdom slept with her until one day a prince arrived and kissed her and woke the kingdom up. And the reign of terror was over. And that kind of, there's a song by 2nd chapter of Acts that talks about a prince that kissed a girl right out of the blue. I keep hearing that in my mind. It's about that. Jesus is coming. Okay. All right, some insight from Calvary University. I come across this when I was searching something else, and he had some good things to say. It says here how Christians should read the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation has vivid imagery and interesting characters as you read through its pages. There are details of four horsemen, strange creatures with faces like eagles, men and calves, and a dragon with feet that are shaped like a bear that comes up out of the sea. These images have caused many to scratch their heads and speculate about what these things may or may not be and how to explain their meanings. It's a bunch of gobbledygook. It's like you're watching Star Wars or something. I mean, it really is. Just people just get more confused, so they just, oh, I don't want to mess with that. Some have come to interpret the book of Revelation allegorically as opposed to literally. This is what allegorically is: a presentation of an abstract or spiritual meaning through concrete or material forms. Figurative treatment of one subject under the guise of another. That's code. Code. When you don't know what, you don't want your enemy knowing what you're doing. How do they keep from giving away all their secrets to the enemy? They speak in code. Jesus has been speaking to us in code. He spoke in code when he was here. We're going to look at that. All right, Revelation 1. I don't make this stuff up. I never thought in my wildest days that I would ever be teaching the book of Revelation. Never. I figured so enough of them had made a mess of it. Why should I get in, throw my hat in it? But the Lord's revealing. We're in the time of the revealing. In Daniel's day, the book was sealed. But in John's day, the book was unsealed in his vision. All right. Verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophet. jealousy. Have you ever seen that word there before? This is a prophecy. And keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So it's a prophecy. Think about all the prophecies in the Bible, especially the Old Testament. From what I've been reading, I read the Bible through every year, and I've been reading through Isaiah, now I'm in Jeremiah. And the stuff that he was putting up with, the Lord was, with his people, was the same stuff we're putting up with today with Baal worship, what they were doing to the children. And the Lord would talk about how he's going to do to these people and all these things. That's what it is. It's these prophets prophesying against these people for what they're doing. Now, I'd be wanting to say probably every one of the prophets, they had to deal with this issue. This has been going on a long time. It isn't just an hour day. That's why I think when somebody thinks, well, we hadn't had the tribulation yet, I thought, say what? How can you say that? Someone put some pictures on WeGo yesterday, and they did it over and over, and I had to keep hiding the post. And it looked like a little baby that had, it was kind of vague, and it had been it was dead. It was part of a sacrifice. It was horrible. In fact, I'd just eaten it, and it made me, I couldn't hardly stand it. And it'd come up, and I just, you know, you can hide the pose. In fact, I just, anything that person posts, I just, you know, want it hidden. I don't want to see that. I know about it. I don't need to see the graphics. I don't need to see the horror. You talk about terror. And that's not the only one. There's several others that are just horrible. They're horrific. There's something that you can't unsee it once you've seen it. It's so bad. And to say, well, you know, I hadn't had tribulation yet. Why would God go to so much trouble to, well, it's just temporary. They're going to all come back and do it again. You know, that's the theory. No, I don't think so this time. Now we know the devil will be loosed in 1,000 years and he will tempt the nations again and there'll be a horrific battle over it. Okay. All right, let me see where I left off here. Okay, this book is a prophecy. So my point was, looking in the Old Testament is full of prophecies from prophets. During that time, there was only three people that really had the anointing on them. It was the prophet, the king, and the priest. So everybody went to the prophet or went to the king, went to the priest for whatever they needed. And so when a leader was not right, because back in that day, you know, they didn't separate. It wasn't no separation of church and state. So when God was disgruntled with the leader and they got off course, he'd send the prophet. And the prophet would prophesy. You know, I talked to you about Jeremiah. I think it was Jeremiah, the one that whenever he took the stuff to the king just, it was in the wintertime, and he said he had a fire going, and Jeremiah was, or the scribe was reading off his prophecy, and the king was taking it as it, he cut it off as he read the scroll and threw it into the fire. And that's when the Lord said, I'm going to, you know, he'll honor those that honor him, but those that don't honor him, they'll be lightly esteemed. So that's what the Bible is. It is prophecy. The book of Revelation is prophecy. With any prophecy, a lot of times there's an edge of mystery to it, a code nearly. Now prophecy is edification, and what is the three? Exhortation, edification, and comfort is what in the New Testament that prophecy is spoken about. But a lot of the Old Testament prophecies that came forth and from the prophets were also had words of knowledge and words of wisdom in them. Words of knowledge are about present day, past and present. Wisdom is about future events. So you see a lot of mixture. It's not unknown or not uncommon for prophecy to have these word of wisdom, word of knowledge mixed in it. And so a lot of the Old Testament prophets, when you read them, that's what you see. They're telling your condition and what the future's going to be. Kind of the Lord said, you either stop it or this is going to happen to you. Okay. Just a minute. I kind of missed. Okay. All right. It should be viewed as that way, as a prophecy. There's always lots of symbolism and figurative speech in prophecy. Here is an example. We're going to look at a couple of places in Revelation. The first one's Revelation chapter 7, where we're going to see symbolism. And we know he's talking about something else. And we've already kind of studied this, so we're not going to go real depth into it, though. In chapter 7, we see the tribes being sealed. So you see 12,000, which the 12,000 by 12,000 equals 144,000. Okay? Then in Revelation 21, we see the New Jerusalem that has 12 foundations, like 12 tribes, 12 foundations. All right, symbolic of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, or could be the 12 elders. What are the other 12 tribes of Israel? Of the Lamb. So 12 by 12 equals 144,000. So he's talking about these tribes being sealed, and he's talking about the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven that measures this. And there's other symbology that backs that up that says we're lively stones. We are the temple. So it's all symbolic, I believe, of the church. All of it. Code, if you will. Okay? Since Genesis 3, really before that, but since God made Adam, we see that Satan, the god of this world system, has been busy manipulating and controlling people, much like the wizard controlled Oz from behind the curtain. We have not seen for nearly 6,000 years who really done it. It's all been hidden from us. In fact, most of it has not even been revealed until what? When Q started posting back 3 years ago. He started in October, I forget the exact date, but he started posting 3 years ago. And I started to see a few things beyond that, but not like I see today. It's just been a slow drip, you know, just. And then stuff coming out. More and more people were waking up. More and more people were beginning to reveal these things that are going on. So the wizard can no longer get away with just being behind the curtain. We're awake now. There's a massive digital army that's replacing the mainstream mockingbird media, which is Satan's. Well, they call it the Nazi wing of the Democrat Party? You know, we talked about the Fourth Reich. They just come over here and started doing it covertly instead of a war, which was overtly. Okay. All right. Remember the books on the Bible code? Remember those books that came out? I read one of them. I think I have both, but I don't think I read the second one about everything's code. Well, we know that Q uses gematria, which is Jewish gematria, which it takes letters and decodes letters. Well, there's Jewish gematria also that they decode. So that's really what the Bible code, probably some of it was. You know, God is big into numbers, and he likes certain numbers. And you're going to see it all throughout Scripture. When I did the study on flat earth, when I got to looking at the four corners of the altar, four corners of the earth, north, south, east, west, the chariot of God with the four cherubims, they could not turn. They only went north, south, east, west, no turning. God has no shadow of turning. I mean, there was just so much, the symbology just came alive of God's and his numbers and how he talks to us through it. I mean, there's one boring book called Numbers. I mean, ugh, it's boring. All right. Q and the Anons use gematria, which is code, to interpret meanings. One thing is said, but the meaning is never what the surface value statement is. That's why with the president, when he speaks, he is talking code. And it's a really good Anon that can pick up on those codes. I'm not very good at it. Now, there's one that I saw where he kept saying 1,000, you know, kept using the word 1,000, you know. But, you know, I can listen to a speech and then hear an Anon talk about it, and they're pulling out all this stuff that they got that the president said using code to communicate with us because of Satan's narrative and him owning all the news outlets to where we don't have any other way of communication. And that scares the left terribly. And that's why they have tried to censor Q out, tried to blame anything and everything on Q until they've gotten to where we don't even use that term anymore. They'll say, well, our military decoder, our military insider, or just different words, anything to keep the algorithm from picking it up and censoring it, you understand? Because this is the devil. He wants to shut your voice. That's the way it is. That's the way he's always been. Keep it hidden. One thing is said, but the meaning is never what the surface value is. It's that way in the book of Revelation. It's symbols. It's a prophecy. It was a vision that John had. And here he's trying to explain. He thought, can you imagine some of the stuff? I mean, today, it'd be a little easier to maybe interpret it than it probably was in that day, the stuff he saw. All right, this is what the book of Revelation is, and it's being revealed as we move along and things are coming to light since the seals have been opened, which we already studied on that. Even Jesus taught in code. They were called parables. Think about it. Parables. He'd get off, you know, with the disciples later, and they'd say, Lord, what did you mean by that? And he'd sit down and decode it for them. Parable, it's a simple story used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson. So God is relaying to us through the book of Revelation what he is doing. It's a book of history. Like I said, it's what has been done, what it started in the garden. That old devil's been around a lot longer than that. I don't know when he got kicked out, but I know this, the earth after God made it was in a mess. And then he had to speak by faith again to get it restored back. So who knows what happened? Who knows how many years it sat out there like that? Who knows how long the devil had been there before he created a mess? And who knows how long he hung around and observed that man and tried and figured out how he could trick him out of everything. Yeah. All right. Bet you never heard anything like this about the book of Revelation. Like I said, I don't make this stuff up. I said, Lord, that's really good. That's really good. Okay. I believe in this day, just like in the day Jesus is at his first coming, that God by his Holy Spirit is speaking to us in these codes. Only those who are listening will get it. Most of the people that I know, especially the AGers, you talk about a in bondage, full of fear, bunch of people. I mean, and they seem to be the hardest nuts to crack. It just hangs in their craw. Psalm 78:2 says, and this is Jesus, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. Here Jesus is teaching kingdom secrets. Okay. All right, we're going to look at a couple here. Matthew 13. In fact, there's several places in this passage here. We're going to start with verse 11. Now, Jesus just talked about, prior to that, about, well, let's just start with one, that way we'll... It says, the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore, and he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went for to sow. And he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Now, I want you to get a picture of what John was seeing. He was seeing things that he didn't understand. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So the only ones that are going to hear that have ears to hear, they're spiritually intuned. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Not everybody's going to know. Just those that have ears to hear. And I think it's the ones that have awakened and they have been prepared. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. That's sure not like the world, is it? You know what socialism does? It's take everything that you've worked hard your life for and give it to this thief, this one that riots and rapes children and does all this stuff. You worked hard all your life, you give it to them. That's the devil's way. But no, it says here, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given. None of this universal income, everybody the same. You do nothing and I work my, you know what, off and we get equal. He shall have more abundance. Him that has already has will be given more. And he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Isn't that what's happening? Isn't that what Nasara's going to do? Those who partake of the things of the devil, they will have their property confiscated. And if they want to raise their ugly head and they want to start a war, they will have their property confiscated. They will not be allowed to be in the kingdom. They will not be allowed to disrupt and do their things. Therefore, speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. And this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal him. They were that bunch that he dealt with was just about as bad as a bunch we have today. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them. I'd say millions, I don't know, maybe billions of Christians desire to see this day that we're seeing, that we're living. And to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony place is the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not rooted himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. All right, here's another parable. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. In another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leaven. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Sounds like you, doesn't it? It really does. There's been information on the cue board of stuff that goes back thousands of years. Really, to the beginning. The Nephilim have been mentioned a few times. You know? They're very aware of the time we're in. But you know what? Jesus found out who had ears to hear, who would follow him. Same today. All right, I had this to 52. There's some more in here. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the word, or the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. There's not a rapture here. This is a gathering together of the wicked out of his kingdom, the thousand-year reign. And cast them into a furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth of the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. We have so grossly misunderstood end time events. It's been grossly mistaught and misunderstood. And I'm not saying that it was their fault. I'm just saying it's the truth. And the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hidden in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. Do you know, it's only good for us coming. Only good. The bad that's come is for the wicked. To try to convince somebody that's been so convinced, oh, Oh, they just get so upset about the end times and all the horror that's been. I remember Joe Sprouse saying this. He is teaching on Revelation. He said, it doesn't say terrorize one another with these words. It says comfort ye one another with these words. Talking about the Lord's coming. It's not a day to be scared. It's a day to rejoice. So shall it be at the end of the world, the angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. So who's he taking out here? All right, the wicked, and he's putting them in the pit, in the fire, it says. And cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus saith unto him, have you understood all these things? And they said unto him, yea, Lord. Then he said unto them, therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. You can't make it any more plain than that as far as where we sit and what our outcome will be. All right, Mark 4:13 says this, and he said unto them, know ye not this parable? Talking about the parable of the sower. How then will you know all parables? He's saying, if you can understand that parable, you can unravel and decode all the others too. All right, Luke 8:10. I'm not sure what that... 8:10. Let me look here. Oh, it says here, and he said, well, verse 9, and his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? This was about the parable of the sower. He said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing you might not see and hearing that you might not understand. So now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are those that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Okay, there are approximately 55 references of parable in the books of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Some will not get it. Those that are spiritual will. Okay, there are probably millions of Christians right now waiting for the rapture. I'm out of here, they say. What did Jesus tell us to do? Occupy. Advance the kingdom of God until I come again, and I'm bringing my reward with me. Man, what a scary thought. He's bringing his reward with him. No occupy, no reward. Yikes. I would hate to be in that group. I certainly do not want to be like the one that had one talent and did nothing with it. It will not be pretty. I want to rightly divide the word of truth and be about the master's business and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Here you have been faithful over five, here is five more. If you are not faithful now, you will not be able to participate when he comes. We are in the trial run for the real run to come. It's like we're being trusted with a little now, and when he comes, that's when the big rewards kick in. I believe that the book of Revelation has been such a mystery and a stumbling block to many. It is to be taken allegorically, spiritually discerned, and not taken at face value, or a better term, literally. All the symbolism does is, all symbolism has a literal meaning. You see that by Jesus talking to the disciples about the parables. But only those awake will see it. Okay, Mark 3. Verse 34. It's the same one in Psalms. It says here, but without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. Now here's another quote from the Calvary University. The book of Revelation is full of symbolic numbers. Since we have seen that Revelation is a book of prophetic visions, the elements of which are symbols of spiritual realities, it makes sense that the numbers present in the book would be symbols of something else, not just random quantities. It's not just numbers that are put there for no reason. Like I said, when I started doing that study, I started seeing that. When I started looking at what Satan, what he had done with symbology and everything, measuring the earth and all the things with 666, 666, they used their certain symbols. Like skull and bones is what, 322? There's certain numbers that they use, okay? Old Testament prophecy, like the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar that Daniel explained, they were symbolic, but they had a literal meaning. We just need proper interpretation. That's what, you know, prophecy, we need interpretation. The book of Revelation is symbolic. Our biggest fault has been that we have not seen it as it should be seen. Daniel prayed that God would give them the interpretation, and God did. God will also give us the interpretation of the visions that John saw, because it is no longer sealed, but ready to be revealed for those who ask. So, I think, you know, I didn't have any understanding of it, and the Lord just began to show me things. But he also brought other people across my path that had some insight. You know, I don't follow them really, but there were just different things, different pieces of a puzzle that they had that helped me put what the Lord was trying to say to me together. So I began to understand. I started looking at things differently, because there was no way that I could, based on what I knew before, there's no way that I could see it the right way. I used to see it like everybody else does. So I hope that clarified it to you today. How long did I go?
Are you finished?
Yeah.